Guys, I want to tell you about, we're going to be here tonight again at 6 for a communion. And we're going to fast again tomorrow as a church. And if you missed last week, I urge you to not miss this one. It was wonderful last week. There's a couple hundred folks here, I guess. And to hear your three elders read scripture and then pray, and then we served you communion, and it was a wonderful time. And it's a good way to start off the fast for Monday. I can't wait to hear all the stories of the breakthrough that some of you guys have gotten, that the Lord's answered your prayers already. We're only halfway through. And I think we're going to get together one Sunday night and pretty soon and just kind of testify. I want you to hear how, you know, a man came up to me this morning. I forget which service, but 9 o'clock. And he said, I'd never fasted before. I'd never done any of that. He said, but with my business, I was at the bottom. He said, I'm responsible for getting jobs for my company. And he said, didn't have any left. Was going to have to probably lay the workers off for a while. And he said, I fasted and I prayed Monday. By the end of the day Monday, we had one contract. And Thursday, we had three more. And he said, I got to tell you, God honored my seeking him. One young man, this may be seen big or small, one young man, he actually lives with me. And he called me Sunday night after this was over and his truck was tore up. He said, Dad, I know my transmission's gone. He said, I don't have but half that money. I said, son, tomorrow I ain't got here yet. I said, let's just begin to pray for it. And I could have bailed him out, but I wanted him to see. And he and I both prayed, and Monday we prayed and fasted. That was part of ours, just a little breakthrough. We got it to the mechanic, and it was only a couple hundred dollar fix. I laughed, and we talked about how good God was and how he gave Luke a breakthrough. That's just one or two of many that I know that's coming. Some of you guys are going to have some relational breakthroughs. Some of you guys are going to have some health breakthroughs. And I know they're coming. I know of one health breakthrough already. I don't see them, but we prayed for Courtney Heiss, and that was our focus Monday. And Courtney's had a lot going on with his digestive and colon system, and there's some kind of blockage, but found out Friday that there was no cancer. And so, yeah, we got a breakthrough there. And lots of good things going to happen. It seems like our church is changing a little bit. I hope we're becoming more dependent on him. And it's going to be fun. But if you'd like to come tonight, I'd like to see you here. And I'd like to worship with you. This fasting and praying is just kind of letting God know we're serious about it. We're serious about it. I told you guys the story of two kings, David and Jehoshaphat. At the top of your outline, it's when the Philistines learned that David had been made king of Israel. They mobilized all of their forces against him to attack and enslave him. But David heard the news and moved to his fortified place. Then the Philistine army moved in and spread out across the entire valley. So David sought the Lord in prayer. He asked, should I go fight these Philistines? Will you give them over to me? The Lord replied, yes, go ahead. You can certainly count on me to give you the victory. So David went out and defeated them. Then David said, I watched the Lord break through my enemies like a mighty flood. So he named the place, the Lord broke through. I hope and pray that you have a place already that you have named the Lord broke through. See, my family has a couple of the Lord broke throughs this week. And I know that young man that was praying for his job has a couple of the Lord breakthroughs. I hope you name a place this week. Then another king's name is Jehoshaphat. It says, after this, three enemies joined forces against Judah. Messengers told the king, a vast army is coming against you, alarmed and afraid. King Jehoshaphat resolved to seek the Lord. Remember, King Jehoshaphat made a choice. He chose to seek the Lord. Then he proclaimed a fast for everyone. So all the people came together to seek help from the Lord. They came from everywhere to seek God. We as a church have chosen to seek God. We as a body have chosen to seek the Lord. And I believe he is going to show up in many different ways unexpected. It may be a lot different than what we've been taught over the years. But we will find him when we seek him. Well, I tell you there's four things that we got to do according to the Bible if we are to have a breakthrough in our lives. Whatever they are, physical, relational, spiritual, financial. There's four things that we have to do, and Paul taught us what they were in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So we got to do four things. Four things if we're going to have a breakthrough in our lives in any area. The very first thing is this we talked about last week. Don't worry about anything. And that's so hard to look at because worry is probably the commandment that we break the most. It's in our nature to worry. But when we worry, we're practicing practical atheism. When we worry, we're saying, if it's to be, it's up to me. And we don't trust God for our needs and for him to meet them. I gave you a definition of worry. And worry is focusing on fears instead of God. That's all worry is. Like I tell my kids, tomorrow ain't got here yet. No use in worrying about tomorrow. Today's got enough. Then it said, how do I switch my focus? We decided by looking at Scripture, it was by prayer and fasting. That's why we called the church to a church-wide fasting on Monday. Tomorrow will be the last one for right now. Then the second thing, that habit we have to develop, we say we don't worry about anything. Then the second habit is this: pray about anything. Nothing too small, nothing too big. Whether it's the direction and the blessings for our company, a guy to get contracts, or for a young man's truck to not be so tore up as he thought. We pray about anything, big or small, because he cares. And I gave you an example of how to pray. Sometimes you don't know how to pray and don't know what to pray for. I've even had people tell me, I run out of things to ask. I run out of things to pray about. And I gave you an example that a mentor of mine taught me how to pray. And it's real easy, and I'm going to do it a lot so you guys get it. We used the example of the hand. The left hand is who we pray for, and the right hand is what we pray for. And I taught y'all last week, and it's on the left hand, we start with the thumb. As we got them together or apart, your thumb's the closest thing to your body. And remember, the left hand is who. And so the left hand, when I start to pray, I pray for my family because this thumb is closest to my heart. What's closest to my heart is my family and friends, those who are in my inner circle. And I begin to pray for them. Then when I move on, as I'm praying, I move to my index finger. Remember the index finger that it directs? It points. And so I pray for the leaders and the teachers of me and in this community. I pray for them. And I hope you'll pray for me as you get to that index finger. Then the tallest finger, I pray for, since it stands out, who? I pray for the folks that stand out, the influence, the leaders, the celebrities, the politicians, those who have influence that stand out in our community. Then I go to the ring finger on the left hand. Who is it? That's the weakest finger on your hand. Did you guys know that? I told you that last week, didn't you? I hope you believe me, because I was actually telling the truth. But I pray for the weak. I pray for the poor. I pray for the children. And I call them out by name if I know them. I pray for the elderly when I think about that finger. And I'm going in sequence here. And I pray for the weak, and I pray for the sick. When I get to that finger, I pray for Jacob Ayers a lot. I pray for him right there. When I get to this small finger, that's after that, that's the finger I pray for myself. Why? I'm last. I get to me last. And that's what you should do too. When we get to who, you pray for yourself last. Well, then we move to the right hand. What do we pray for? If this is as we're praying, I hope you're writing this down. I hope you got it from last week. But we pray for what's close to the heart, remember? So I pray for my family and their heart condition, at their heart. I pray for, you know, I pray for me. Am I okay with you, God? Me and you good? My heart with you all right? Is my heart right? I pray for my family. How's their heart with you? I pray there. And I pray for my friends and friends that are lost, that they get their heart right with God. Then I look at this index finger. What do I pray for? Remember, it points in the right direction. Y'all remember that? So I pray for my calendar. And I pray for my direction. God, am I in my priorities? God, am I putting you first? And when my feet hit the floor, what I need to complete for you today, do I consider it first? Then I go to the middle finger, which is, remember, it's the tallest. And so it's the standout finger. Then I, Lord, how am I standing out? How is my influence in my world, my community? You know, and how is my example to my kids and my wife? And how's my example to the people at work? How is my influence? Then I get to the ring finger, and I begin to pray for my relationships with my friends and my family and with my people at church. How's my relationships there? Then I get to this last finger. Y'all remember what I pray for there? I pray for material blessings. It's okay to pray for material blessings. It's the last thing. It's okay. I want you to know it's okay. It's okay to be wealthy. It's the love of money that's evil. It's not the accumulation of it. It's love. You know, I pray that God will bless me so that I can give it away. And that's what I do. That's my prayer. You can spend 15 or 20 seconds on each one, and you've just prayed about 4 or 5 minutes. So that's a good pattern to go by. It's one that'll cover every base. You guys are in there. When I go to my relationships, I pray for North Point Church. But I urge you to find you a place during the day that's quiet, that you don't do this for show. You know, even if you have to go into the bathroom. Go there, sit in there for just a couple of minutes and go through your hand prayer and pray for those guys. And don't forget, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. But anyway, do that. Try to do it 2 or 3 times a day until you develop a habit of that. All right, third thing. I'm going to keep talking about this prayer. Let me tell you that too. I'm going to keep talking about this prayer. I'm going to pray like that in the open, so that you guys hear it from me. And I'm going to do this for about a month, because I hope you guys can develop it into a habit. Is that all right with y'all? All right. The third thing is thank God in all things. That's the third habit we have to develop. Is thank God in all things. Because, guys, if you really want a breakthrough, gratitude is the breakthrough attitude. We have to have a grateful attitude. Because the more grateful that you are in life, the more great breakthroughs that you're going to have. I tell you, I wish you could have seen that young man's face when he was telling you about his work and how he was just so grateful and smiling big, how the Lord had broken through, that he not only got one contract, but he got 4. That's big news. He was so so grateful. Philippians 4, 6c said, ask God for whatever you need, but always do it with thanksgiving, asking him with a thankful heart for all he's done. With thanksgiving and with a thankful heart. You know, and this guy had such a thankful heart. I thought, you know, if I owned a company, I would want that guy working for me, because he was so thankful. He was concerned about his fellow workers working and not shutting down. That, you want somebody like that. Am I right? His concern was his company. But you know, you want somebody with a thankful heart. You want somebody with a grateful attitude. Because if your kids came to you all the time, and maybe they do, daddy, 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 gimme, 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 and never saying I love you, never saying thank you, you'd probably begin to wonder if they even cared about you. You'd probably begin to believe that they just think that you're this vending machine, that they can just pull the lever and what they need comes out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It stinks. It stinks, whatever. But whenever you ask God for something, you should already be grateful for everything that he's ever given you with a grateful attitude. No matter what you ask for, you should have the attitude of gratitude and ask it with thanksgiving. Let me read 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I didn't have it in your Bible. I mean, your outline. I wished I would have, but I didn't. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Some people have come to me before and said, what's God's will for my life? You know, they just tell me, they say, I ain't got a clue. Well, God ain't going to show you step number two until you do step number one. And here's step number one, be grateful. Be grateful. This is God's will, that you and I are being grateful. And if you're not being grateful, if you're not thanking God in prayer every day, why in the world would God show you step number two? If you ain't even done step number one. He says, first will is for you to be grateful for what I've already given you in your life. The very breath you take, the very life that you have, the freedom. Everything that you and I have is a gift from him, and we are to be grateful in all things. In all things. Now, it doesn't say be thankful for all things. I want you to see that. There's a difference between being thankful in all things and for all things, because there's some things you should not be thankful for. You should not be thankful for cancer. You know, you should not be thankful for leukemia. That would just be... I'm probably not saying the word right, but masochistic, to be thankful for those diseases. You should never be thankful for evil. You shouldn't be thankful for when a woman is abused or a child is molested or someone is raped. It doesn't say be thankful for all things. It says give thanks in all circumstances. Well, why? Because even in bad things, God can bring good out of evil. And there's a lot of bad in the world with racism and people just hurting one another and lying and gossiping. And those are bad things. And we shouldn't be grateful for that. We should not be grateful. But God says, I'm bigger than sin. I'm bigger than those things. And he can bring good out of bad. There's no saying he turns crucifixion into resurrection. And that he can bring promises out of pain. He can bring good out of bad. That's just what God does. He transforms the bad things in our lives into good things. And he uses them for good. So it doesn't say that you're supposed to be grateful for bad things that happen. But in everything, in every circumstance, be grateful. And I took the time and I wrote about five things that I know in every circumstance that you and I can be grateful for. We can be grateful for, A, God has a plan for our life. We can be grateful for that. In all circumstances, God has a plan for my life. Secondly, is that God can use everything in my life. I know that beyond a shadow of doubt. That the second thing is that God can use everything in my life. And the third thing is what I know this. Whatever the pain is, it ain't going to last forever. It ain't going to last forever. You know, and the fourth thing that I can rest on and I can be thankful for is I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. And the fifth thing that I thought was I was thankful for was he's going to use these problems for my character. Whatever problems that I'm going through right now, I know that it's to build my character. And the list can go on and on and on. But those are the five things. And so, you know, I wanted to tell some folks this week. And it was somehow even going on this morning. Some folks say, why is this happening to me? When something's bad going on in your life, we tend to say, why is this happening to me? But that's not the question we should be asking. We should be asking is, God, what did you want me to learn? From whatever we're going through, whatever's happening your way, whatever bad is happening in your life right now, look at it and say, God, what do you want me to learn from this? Because when I learn, I grow more like Christ. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But if we want to just lay around and say, why is this happening to me? You're going to always be immature. And you're not going to grow. So giving thanks should be a lifestyle. It's not just in November. As I was writing this up, I thought, you know, I probably should preach this in around Thanksgiving. And then I thought, well, we really need to be thankful all year round. We really need to have a thankful lifestyle, because Thanksgiving in November is basically turned into food, football, and napping. You know, God's not really talked about that much. But Psalms 116:17 says, I will offer you my sacrifice of thanksgiving. And thanksgiving should be a sacrifice. And we should express our thanksgiving to God, and he takes it as a sacrifice. Well, how do we do that, offer it to God as a sacrifice? I wrote down two practical ways that I want to encourage you to do this week. I think you can do one on Monday and do the other one the next week. But the very first thing, I think, to a practical way to offer sacrifice is this: by writing a thank you list. By writing a thank you list. I want to encourage every one of you to do this week. I think you can get most of them out tomorrow while you're fasting. Is just make a list, you know, of 50 things that you're thankful for. They could be big or they could be small. I was telling them this morning in one of the services that I was sitting there thinking, I don't know why, but I'm thankful for that little bit of wisp of hair right there. You know, and I said, hey, I like that. I like it to grow out like that, and I let it get long from time to time, and the wind blows it. And it feels good when the wind blows it. And I said, I'm thankful, Lord, that I got about three of them left right there. And then when I busted the egg on my head this morning, it got those three, and they're all stuck together, and they look like one now. But that's one of the things I'm thankful for, is that little peak of hair right there. And I said, I'm thankful I got that. It won't be there much longer, but I'm thankful I got it today. It won't be on my list next year. But there's certain things that, you know, that you're going to be thankful for. And that's just one of mine. But, you know, just write down your list and guys, write it out. Because there's a person named Francis Bacon. And I'm assuming Francis is a man. Francis is one of those names that go either way. But I remember reading this quote. It says, reading makes a man broad, but writing makes a man exact. Reading makes a man broad, but writing makes a man exact. Nothing becomes dynamic, you know, until it becomes specific. And when you write it down, that's specific. When you say, God, I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for this. You know, so see if you can come up with a list of 50. I'm sure you can, probably more than 50, but at least 50, and write them down. Write them down and keep them somewhere. Psalm 118:1 says, tell the Lord how thankful you are. Guys, you write down 50 things you're thankful for, you'll come away with an attitude of gratitude and a sacrifice of thanksgiving. This is, thank you, Lord, for this, for these 50. Here's the second practical way to do this, is by giving God a thanksgiving offering. By giving him a thanksgiving offering. Well, why is that? Because thanks and giving go together. And that's the way we express our thanks, is by giving. Y'all ever notice that? We express our thanks by doing that. And so what I want to ask you to do next week is give a portion back to God as an offering. You know, God, you've blessed me so much. And so next week I want you to come in and be settled in your mind and be ready to give God an offering. Now, we're not going to make a big to-do of it, because I believe giving is between you and the Lord, and that it should be done as an act of gratitude and a cheerful heart. And that's why we don't take up an offering here. But I'll go ahead and tell you what we do, because some folks, they came up to me not long ago and said, we've been coming here for a year or so. How do we give to y'all's church? And so apparently I don't talk about it enough. And so that's okay. I don't think we should. God's really blessing our church, and so as far as financially. But we have full boxes, one at each door. Then I think you can give online, and I think you can give somehow through that reader back there, the Q reader. I don't know how it works, but somehow you can do that. But what I'm asking you this is just kind of look at it this week and be ready to prepare to give an offering of thanksgiving. Deuteronomy 16:10 says, celebrate. See, that's what I want it to be with you and God, is a celebration. Celebrate the harvest festival to honor the Lord your God by bringing him a thanksgiving offering in proportion to the blessing he has given you. What does that mean? Well, God's blessed me a lot this week, so I give him a lot. God's blessed me a little, so I'll give him a little. It's just a celebration between you and the Lord as you celebrate. It's how you express your thanks. Amen? That's what it is. And I'm looking, like I say, we're not going to have it's not a big deal. For me, it's just between you and the Lord. And you know, and just, you know, I don't want you to just, I don't know, that'd be all right if you did that too. I don't care if you want to just, as you put it in and celebrate. Because I want you to have a cheerful heart. But don't be goofy about it, all right? But have a cheerful heart. And come with an attitude of gratitude and giving to God by actually giving. Fourth habit is this. Stay focused on true things. This is what we got to be. This is important. Just as important as the other three. Is that we stay focused on true things. True things. Philippians 4:8 says, fix your thoughts on things that are true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. And fill your mind with thoughts that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, this is a mental change. This is a thought fix. That things become different. That we fix our thoughts. We think about things. And we fill our mind. This has got to be a mental habit. And like I said, it's the fourth key to a breakthrough in your life. If you want a breakthrough in your life, you have to develop this fourth key. Thanksgiving, prayer, and fasting. This is included. Because the fact is this. Your mind and my mind is bombarded with lies every day. And we tell each other some of our worst lies. We lie to ourselves more than anybody. You know, we tell ourselves that you know, somebody asks you, how you doing? I'm good when you're not doing so good. Then we think it's bad when it really ain't so bad. We lie to ourselves. And other people lie to us all the time. Society, would y'all agree that society lies to us? Society really, really does lies to us, and we're bombarded with things that just aren't true about us. I wrote down some examples here. Our society says this, if you're not beautiful, then you don't matter. They say this in advertisements. They say this in movies. Everything around in society says if you're not good looking, then you don't matter. Well, that's a lie. That's just a big ball-faced lie, as my mother would say. Our society tells us if you're not wealthy, then you don't matter. Well, that ain't true. That's just a lie. That's how we say it in Rockmart. That's a lie. It's just not true. You know, society tells us growing up in school that if you're not academic, great in academics, or if you're not an athlete, then you don't matter. Well, that's a double dog ball face lie. It's a lie. This world is full of lies, and we begin to believe many of them. And then you start to feel bad about yourself, about the lies that you have believed. That's just simply not true. I'm going to tell you something. You matter to God because you are His child, and that's what makes you important, that you belong to Him. If God created you and Christ died for you and the Spirit is in you, then you're not junk. Amen? Let me just make sure you got that, because that was good, I thought, and y'all didn't even budge. If God created you and Christ died for you and the Spirit lives in you, then you're not junk. You're not junk. You are of supreme value. You are of supreme value. There's a lot of things that you've been told all your life, some of them by your parents and your friends, that just not true. You may have been told that you were uncoordinated. And here's one I really hate, that you won't never amount to nothing. That ain't true. But the only way to counter those lies is to fill your mind with the truth. Because Jesus said, when you know the truth will set you free. And as your pastor, that's what I want you to be, is free. Amen? So you got to fill your mind with the truth. So the only possible way to fill your mind with the truth is to get in this book. Get in this book. And I'm talking about just a few minutes out of the day. Some of you say, man, there he goes. I just can't read the Bible all day and night. I know. I'm just asking for a few minutes to put your face in this book. Because we spend hours on social media, don't we? You think about it. You know, we do. We spend hours on social media. We spend hours on Netflix. We spend hours on video games. We spend hours on Twitter and whatever. But we spend hours on that and seconds in this. And seconds. And this is the truth. But we're absorbing ourselves with lies and just filling ourselves up. And so we got to get the truth from the Word of God. Well, what's the result if we develop those four habits? I want us to read together the result. If we follow these four habits, look at Philippians 4:7 down here at the bottom. I want us to read this together. Tell me when you're ready. Y'all ready? Listen, this is the result. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more powerful than we can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and emotions at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. How many of you want your thoughts and emotions at rest? I do. Less stress, more rest. Nobody woke up this morning and said, I want more stress today. I want to be emotionally unbalanced today. Nobody said that. But if we develop these four habits, this can be a reality in our lives. Less stress, more rest. Keep your thoughts and emotions at rest. That's better than anything, isn't it? That's peace. To keep your thoughts. I want to close with this verse. I want you to go back and read it. I wrote it down. I think I got mine out of the Message translation. But write down Job 11. Job 11, 13 through 19. It says, surrender your heart to God. Stretch out your hands to Him in prayer and give all your secret sins. Then you'll be confident and fearless. You want to be confident and fearless? I do. Listen to this. Your troubles will go away like water beneath the bridge. Your darkest hour will be as bright as the morning. You'll be secure, filled with hope. Who wants to be filled with hope? Then it says empty of worry and sleep without fear. Who wants to sleep without fear? I do. I want to sleep like a baby. Many times when we wake up and we can't go back to sleep, it's because our minds are racing with things that we're worrying about and things that we fear. But the Bible says that we can sleep without fear if we develop these four habits. Amen? We can do it. Less stress, more rest. I'm all about rest. Our bodies need it. Our minds need it. Well, don't forget tonight, communion at 6 o'clock. Fasting tomorrow. I ask that you'd fast with me one more time. Are you ready for a breakthrough? I'm ready for nothing. I can't get enough of them now. I like them. I want to name a lot of different places. This is where the Lord broke through. See you tonight at 6. Let me pray for you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to teach you how I've been taught to pray. My Lord, I thank you for my family. I lift my wife up to you. She just returned from vacation and she's rested. And I pray for her as she returns to work tomorrow and as she brings home the bacon. Lord, I thank you for her service and how she loves the children and how she always points them to Christ. And I thank you for my daughter, Sarah, and her husband, Aaron, her joy, her planning. And I pray for them as they grow together towards you. Lord, I thank you for my son, Luke, his eagerness to learn, his intelligence, and his grateful attitude. He's always thinking of others. And Lord, I pray for his future wife. And I lift her up to you. She's going to need it. Lord, I pray for my mentor. And I thank you for putting James into my life. And I hope that he's had a good restful time on his vacation as he's heading back today. And then I pray for the celebrities. I honestly don't know many by name anymore. But I know they carry a huge amount of influence. And I pray the ones that are leading people astray, that they would have a change of heart. That they would begin to live for you instead of themselves. And others would notice. Lord, and I pray for Jacob Ayers. And I ask you to give him strength today. For Mary and Jake, for Barry. I pray for the little children. I pray for the babies that are on their way here. I pray for the poor. I pray that I'm able to help. Lord, I pray for myself. I pray for good health. I pray that I get stronger and I feel better. Give me the strength to get up and exercise. I pray for the heart of Angie that it always stay true to you, that she always look after you. I know she will. She's logical. You make sense. Sarah's heart. She loves you no matter what. She doesn't hold grudges. And Luke, his heart's like his mom. Makes sense to him too. And I pray that he always seek after you, that he is that natural born world shaker. hold him close as he starts leading. Well, my calendar and my priorities, I lift them up to you, Lord. I pray that my day starts off serving you and not serving me. Lord, then I do want to be careful about my influence and my example to the community. I pray, Lord, that people see you in me, that I'm you with skin on in Adairsville, but mostly that I'm you with skin on at 53 Oak Grove Road. I do pray for my work relationships. I may need some work there. I think I do. That I'd be a better example for you. And I pray that they too would come to know Christ. And if it's me that's supposed to plant a seed or whatever, I'm willing. Lord, then lastly, I ask you to bless my family. And honestly, not so that I can have, but I'm able to give. You've given me everything that I need. You've blessed me abundantly. And I'm forever thankful. Lord, we love you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.